This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And we are here. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we will do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Of course, you can follow us on the internet over at radio.com, and you can get us via the stream. You can also get us via podcasting at radio.com. So feel free to get online. If you're anywhere in the country, 800-966-WTIC. And we love to rack up the phone bill here at WTIC. Just kidding. It's a toll-free number, but no big deal. So let's get to some of the news there, Bob. One of the things that Bob came across and he shared with me this morning that I hadn't seen was, I guess, one of the candidates that are out there, Mr. O'Rourke, was a hacker, a black hat hacker, as it were. He was part of the Cult of the Dead Cow. And this is a report from Reuters talking about Beto O'Rourke's time in the Cult of the Dead Cow. And the collective was best known for its acts of hacktivism in the late 90s. And they developed hacking tools that would hack into Windows machines. And it's cited as one of the sources that forced Microsoft to try to better secure its products, which they're still working on to this day, Microsoft is. And it's not clear if O'Rourke took part in any of the actual hacking. But he was he was most active in the group in the 80s when it was mostly producing essays than hacking tools. So it's just kind of an interesting twist. It's, you know, on the one side, obviously, he's not going to be some sort of evil hacker. I'm not really worried about that. It's kind of nice if he does become any kind of political figure that he actually understands how a computer works. There's way too many folks in our Congress now, and even here in the state, I think our quote-unquote computer czar, he's just a bureaucrat. His cybersecurity czar doesn't have any hacking experience or IT experience.
Doesn't even use a computer.
Probably not. And, you know, it's finally folks that I guess that are in their mid-40s, which is, I guess, how old O'Rourke is. If you actually become a politician.
I think he's 38.
38?
I think so.
I don't think so. I think he's 46.
He's going to be the youngest candidate ever to run for president.
I'll double check, but I think he's 46.
If he gets elected to be president.
Yeah. I don't think he's that young. But the point is, he's got IT experience, a technological experience. And there's too many folks in these in our legislatures that do not know how to use systems or computers in this day and age, and they're making laws about them. You know,
I think he might be just too eager to go out and spy on people.
Him?
Use the technology?
Well, we don't know.
Kind of hack into people? I don't think he has an ethical problem with that.
Well, back then he didn't. I'm not advocating for him or against him. It's just an interesting tidbit that this guy has some experience in a...
Well, he started as a teen posting to online bulletin boards after his dad brought home an Apple IIe and a 300 baud modem in the 1980s.
Oh, yeah.
A 300 baud.
300 baud.
That's exactly right. That would put him around my age. So I think he is in that 46 range. Now I want to find out.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Anyway, while you're looking that up.
Yeah, he's 46.
46,
yeah,
okay.
That makes more sense.
So I was off by only 8 years.
Yeah. It's a big difference.
Still
these
a
days.
Kid, in my view.
Well, 46 is the new 36, anyways, right?
Well, that's true.
That's what I'm hoping.
He looks young.
Yeah. So hey, we'll see what happens with him. He's part of the Cult of the Dead Cow.
All right.
All right. What do you got?
NHTSA, NHTSA.
Yeah.
Which is the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, may let control-less vehicles on public roads. Report says.
Control-less? That doesn't sound
control-less.
Smart.
That's no steering wheel.
Oh.
No brakes.
Yikes. No brakes.
No brake pedal.
I gotcha.
Okay.
So no humans can touch the controls.
No, yeah, no accelerator. Several companies have petitioned the regulatory agency organization for exemptions which includes GM, by the way, to current federal vehicle safety standards. Huh. The car industry is spending money on its self-driving cars. It's like it's going out of style. Mm-hmm. And up until this point, all of their development vehicles had controls so that a human driver can take over. That might not always be the case, though. And the U.S. government is curious how the average American feels about that, according
to the
report.
Well, the average American wants a steering wheel and brakes, I bet.
Published Friday by Reuters. To that end, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is opening up a period of public comment on petitions by several self-driving car developers that are seeking exemptions from federal vehicle safety standards.
Yeah.
For example, Kroger's little grocery delivery pod producer, Nuro, N-U-R-O, wants to build its autonomous vehicles without a windshield. The car has no driver and no provisions for a driver, so a windshield is unnecessary. However, federal vehicle guidelines mandate that one exist. So there's nobody in the car to look out, but you got to have a window.
Well, I think they just got rid of the buggy whip requirements recently. Here in Connecticut.
Well, we've been driving illegally all these years.
Yeah, you need to have a buggy whip hanging onto your, as part of your vehicle.
Well, you got all those horses under the hood. You got to control. So we've worked closely with NHTSA and other regulators to make sure our technology complies with relevant laws and is positioned to deliver maximum benefit to our customers and their communities, said a Nuro representative in a statement to Roadshow.
Yep.
If approved, this exemption will be a notable and responsible step toward realizing those goals, and we look forward to input from regulators and the public on how to deliver them. General Motors, this is getting to the good part, is also applying for exemptions. It wants to test self-driving cars on public roads with no hand or foot controls.
Right.
This means no steering wheel, no brake pedal. Again, this would typically run afoul of federal standards, which require them.
Right.
GM had been hoping to get its controlless cars on the road this year, but it has been approximately 15 months since it submitted its request for temporary exemption.
Mm.
The vehicles, it says, will be used as part of an on-demand ride-sharing fleet.
Ah.
We're assuming they mean cruise automation taxi fleet we've heard about,
and that
vehicle speeds will be limited. Neither GM nor NHTSA responded immediately to requests. So, in other words, I think where the government wants to go is that eventually they're going to outlaw cars. The only thing you can do is order up a ride.
Right.
Here's my problem with this, okay?
Yeah.
New technology typically does not include security provisions.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, let me see. This guy, Trump, we got to get rid of him. Mm. Let's crash him into a brick wall.
Well,
we're off over a cliff or something like that. You know, I mean, I'm just saying that as an example.
I know.
Because somebody could hack in.
Well,
they're going to be controlled by computers.
You don't even need to hack in. You just need to get the password to get the access to the system. And you just send them an email saying, hey, what's your password? And they're like, here it is. We'll see what happens, Bob. I understand. I agree with you that the security is always the last thing. After they outlaw the buggy whip and the windshield, that they actually say you probably need to have security in these things. And this is my point about the regulators and the legislators that we have working for us. They don't think about these things because they don't know how the computer works.
They don't know how the sausage is made.
Right. So you're right. I mean, who knows what will happen with this? But autonomous vehicles are coming. I mean, you're not going to need car insurance anymore. You're not going to have any car taxes anymore, which is going to blow up the budget here in Connecticut. You're not going to have any of that going on because you're not going to have to own a car.
Just think, no more bank robberies because...
What?
No more bank robberies.
Really?
You know why?
No.
Because the robbers won't be able to have a getaway car.
Well, they don't even need... Nobody uses cash anymore. Do the banks even have money in their vaults?
The bank robberies are
going to be electronic. So it's interesting. It's an interesting point of view there. We'll see what happens. I'm sure it's. I don't mind the idea of not having to buy a car in the future. I mean, it may be happening with our kids. It won't happen with an
army. Yeah, but if they don't have enough cars on a given day, you're late to work because you couldn't get a car ride because it was hauling other people around.
You're just going to plug in your consciousness and have it show up at work. I don't know. You're going to plug into the internet.
You're going to have to reserve it.
Right.
In advance.
In advance. I need to have my car here at 6:30 so I can get to work.
Yeah, and don't forget to cancel it on your vacation days and your sick days. Right. Or you're going to have to pay for it anyway.
It'll be a subscription service. In other news, the FCC is opening up an experimental spectrum of licenses for, guess what? Not 5G, 6G. So before 5G's even come out, we're ready to go for 6G. Now, 5G is going to promise massive speeds as far as communication speeds, you know, gigabit connectivity or even better than that. Which is great if you really need to, you know, gigabit speeds, which we've already contended 50 megabits is probably all you need for home. But for connectivity of, you know, these vehicles that Bob is talking about, for connectivity of the network itself, a gigabit connection is nice, and that's what 5G offers. I can't imagine what 6G is going to offer. Why bother even putting up the 5G, guys? Let's just skip right over and go to 6G.
Well, basically what this does, it opens it up for research and development over the next 10 years.
Right. Well, that's true.
They aren't really going to come out with anything 6G, and they're just getting ready now to schedule a meeting of the people that are going to talk about the standards and protocols that they need to develop in order to implement it.
Right. So it looks like AT&T has turned on 5G networks in about a dozen cities at the end of last year, and it plans to boost its coverage to 21 cities. So it's coming.
Sprint,
I mean, 5G
has also opened up some, and so has
T-Mobile.
T-Mobile, yes.
Yeah, T-Mobile's got 30, said it's going to launch in 30 cities, and Sprint is going to launch in 9 cities in 2019.
So that means you can cut the cable.
Yeah, as long as they don't charge you per megabit. But yeah, cutting the cable's coming.
I heard a rumor, I haven't seen anything, but that Comcast is thinking about going into the wireless field. I wonder why that would be.
Yeah, well, they have. They actually, I think they do offer a wireless service, but they're just probably piggybacking on the big
well,
carriers.
Yeah, that's probably what it is at this point.
So we got those articles. We got two lines open for you guys. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Feel free to get online. We'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We've got one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we'll do our best to help you out. Let's get right to your calls. We want to go to Tom in Canton. Morning, Tom.
Good morning. Good morning. I always enjoy your show. You guys.
Thanks.
And you're talking about the self-driving cars. There's a few things. The cars might have to interconnect with each other, which
right.
means everybody will know where everybody is at any given time.
Yes.
Which is not always the best thing that society should want.
I'm not arguing with that, but yes, the cars will have to communicate with each other. Like, think of them as little packets on the network. Now they would be packets on the heart on the highway, and they'd have to keep themselves a proper distance and all that fun stuff.
So you think how much easier it would be to catch criminals, because they might order up a car to go down to the local pub, and the police find out and he's in the car and redirect him to the police station.
That'd be perfect.
I could think, like, you know, like, I think there was a movie back in the 60s, I forget the guy who was the same guy in that French Connection car chase, where he was carrying some kind of device and didn't know what it was, and people were tracking him.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, you've got a smartphone in your pocket. I mean, you're already tracked by the technology.
You're going to have to go out in your diesel-powered tractor with no electronics and go to the store pretty soon, so everybody doesn't know where you're going.
Yeah, it's going to be a steampunk society mixed with regular self-driving cars. So.
Plus, Gene Hackman, by the way.
Oh.
Plus, the other thing is you can't tailgate anybody or whip around people when you shouldn't, which is, you know.
Yeah, it'll reduce the road rage.
Yeah, well, you know, it's
well, if they take out the windows, people won't even know.
it's kind of sad. Like, people can pretty much get most places where they want to.
Yeah,
really fast for the most part. But people still, it's like somebody has to lose for you to be happy. It's like that whole scenario. I won, but unless somebody loses, I'm not happy. It's a weird
concept
I just recently heard about. It's kind of depressing, but
yeah.
No, people feel like they got a passion for no good reason when there's, you know, safe driving. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, Tom, I hear you, man. We'll see what happens with self-driving cars. I think it's in our future.
Yeah, I think it's kind of crazy. Like, they talk about these EMT events and everything. Could you imagine every car in the country crashing all of a sudden?
Well, or I can see there's a glass half full versus half empty. How about the cars not crashing anymore?
Oh, no, that's a good point, absolutely.
You know, I think that would be the better side if this is going to work. Now, I know,
that's,
you know, we've seen Tesla and their issues with their autonomous vehicles having issues with running into the back of fire trucks that are parked on the highway. That seems to be what they do. But the technology eventually will get there. And just imagine the massive savings. I mean, no more lawyers to deal with
the car accidents.
Well,
a lot of this stuff could be done already safety-wise. Like every car, for the most part, is computer-controlled.
Yeah.
And no matter how much horsepower there is, the car's speed could be limited, but there's no public taste for that. Even no matter what the speed limit is, people want to be able to go over it.
Well, I think I heard Angela talk about horsepower on cars yesterday morning, where they're putting in like an 800, no, 1,000 horsepower engine into this Corvette that actually destroys the differential, or it messes with the gears, that the car falls apart or something like that. I mean, it's just
stupid. The Dodge Demons are having trouble with rear differentials exploding in the drag strip.
I mean,
but that's because they're using extra sticky tires. It's like something's got to give, kind of thing.
Well, who needs that kind of horsepower? Not that you're welcome to have that kind of horsepower, but I don't want it on the road next to me.
They need to go back to the...
I just don't want people going 100 miles an hour through traffic. That's the thing. That's the real issue.
It'd be nice to...
People's got to enjoy. You know, I was always a speeder, but I never got a ticket because I would never speed around other cars.
Well, some people, when they get behind the wheel, they put their car in overdrive and their brain in neutral.
Well, exactly. You're also drifting off into some world. But anyway, all these little electronic gadgets help. The problem is people depend on them, and then some other danger pops up, unfortunately.
Yep, that's always going to be the case.
Yeah, but good show. I always enjoy your different topics. I was wondering, did you ever look up that SDR radio I was telling you about a year ago?
Maybe a year ago. I can't remember yesterday, Tom.
The software-defined shortwave radio.
I do think I did look that up, but I don't remember what I found. I'd have to go back and look it up again, Tom.
I just thought I'd throw it out there. But anyway, have a great show. And,
thanks, Tom.
Always like listening.
All right. Thank you for doing so. All right. Bye-bye. I mean, the technology, heck, you know, just some of the stuff when it comes to technology in cars, just the basic technology where, you know, it's trying to save you from, you know, slipping on the snow. Sometimes that technology is more trouble than it's worth. I mean, but self-driving, autonomous vehicles would end so many problems. Your insurance, gone. Again, lawyers going after everybody for a fender bender, gone. That's a nice thing. Speeding tickets, gone. I mean, wow, what a utopia, right, Bob?
Yes. You don't have to worry. No more human pain and suffering.
Right. Windshield repair, gone, because you just stick up you're going to have a screen and a camera. You don't even need an actual windshield anymore. You just have a nice, beautiful 4K display showing you where you're going with a nice camera, and it can be virtual. So imagine how cool that would be to have, again, no glass, but an LCD screen that tells you all the things you're passing. It gives you all the information about all the places through
Could be driving around the block for hours and think that you're on a Sunday cruise all the way to Niagara Falls.
That's true. It could be a fake drive, virtually drive to Niagara. Then you get out, you're like, oh, I'm still home. All right. the future is going to be fun. Let's see what Danny's got cooking. Hey, Danny.
Hey, guys. I've got a question about Google Phone.
Google Phone?
Google Voice.
Google Voice, okay.
Is that where you get a phone number from Google and then you give that number to people?
Yeah.
And they call that number?
Yeah.
Okay, well, how do you... then does it automatically call your own phone number, or do you have to go to Google and...
No, you could forward the calls from Google Voice to your own phone number. It's like it's a voice over IP number. You get your own phone number. We're hitting up against a hard stop here, Danny. Want to hold on through the news?
Yeah, hold on. Sure, thanks.
All right, we'll continue with Danny through the news. And we've got Guy and Bill on the line. One line open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. We are back. We do have a full board. You guys realize we're awake at 9 o'clock. That's awesome. I know it's a beautiful day here in southern New England, so maybe you guys are all ready to tackle it early. Let's go right back to Danny. I want to find out what the heck he's going to do with Google Voice. So, Danny, what are you going to do with Google Voice? Why do you need it?
Well, you know, things like those ancestry tests and, you know, a lot of things that they want a phone number, and I don't really want to give them my own phone number.
Oh.
Even though I know...
Even though they're going to know everything about your DNA?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
And I was just wondering how that worked. Also, if you had contractors thinking about doing some remodeling, and, you know, you call them one time, and then they call you back 50 times. Right. I was wondering if he gave him a phone number, if he had that, and you gave him that phone number.
Yeah.
If that worked like an old-fashioned answering service. Remember
it can.
Those?
Yeah. It'll be like you'll have an answering. You'll have a message there for them to leave a message, and you can actually set Google Voice to ring your cell phone, too.
Okay. Now, does it send you an email when somebody calls that so you know to check it?
You'll be notified, yeah. You'll have some sort of notification
okay,
that will alert you. And it's free.
Oh, okay. And, you know, nothing exciting or exotic. It's just, you know, the reason I want it, just mostly for the contractors.
Okay. Well, you don't have a cell phone then, Danny?
Pardon me?
You don't have a cell phone?
I've got a 15-year-old Motorola.
Oh, wow.
Flip phone with a little whip antenna that pulls out that's duct taped on.
Nice. All right, yeah, Google Voice will work out for you for what you want to do. All right.
All right. Hey, how about SpaceX with the last launch up to the space station with the crew capsule?
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, very exciting.
Everybody's working against them, though.
Who's everybody?
Well, Boeing and Lockheed Martin. You know that they're trying to keep him from getting certified before they do because they want their Starliner to be the first one to carry men up to the space station. But they've had so many delays.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Russians were reluctant. They didn't want to let them dock because they didn't think the automatic docking software was accurate, and they said they were afraid it'd be an accident. You know, because
right. They're
getting money for giving everybody rides up, so they didn't want it. I mean, they're all working against him.
Well, that's competition.
He's working against himself too.
Yeah, Elon has his issues.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Thanks.
Thanks,
a lot.
Danny. All right. Bye bye. I'm excited about SpaceX. I think it's great. And the more the merrier.
And it's competition.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if you can stop your competitors.
But, you know, legally. Let's go on to Guy in West Hartford. Hey, Guy.
Morning, fellas.
Morning. What's going on?
Hey, I'm migrating from a Windows 7 system to a new Windows 10 system.
All right.
Same network. And I don't want to sit there and copy signatures and PFC files and everything else. So
you don't, huh?
Well, might have to, but
right. Depends
on what you guys come up with. What is there any kind of cloning software? We used to be able to connect a cable between PCs.
Yeah, that was the Windows 7 Easy Transfer cable, which was greatest thing since sliced bread.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
two or three cables, and you can do a copy PC to PC.
Yeah, right. Well, Microsoft did away with all that.
Of course
they did. So basically we're back to doing it the way we did it in XP. So, yeah.
You got to do it manually. You got to copy your data.
Do it manually, yeah.
Yeah, there's no easy way to migrate that guy.
So going from Outlook 2000 or Office 2013 to Office 365, I've got to sit there and copy the contact files and the PFT files and the signatures and the filters and everything else.
Well, you can do the PST files if you're doing that. I see mostly people with some sort of an exchange service,
right.
You know, even if it's hosted in the cloud. That
right. Works
very well because it keeps it and everything gets updated. The only thing is the autofill. You got to find that file
and
basically move it over and rename it into the new system.
Hmm. How about all the filters?
I don't do the filters. At some point they got to do it over. I mean, I could spend a day migrating a client and just getting the data over and most of the stuff.
Yeah, the more granular you get, the more it gets too expensive to deal with all the little idiosyncrasies
right. That
are built. I was actually meeting with another potential client whose internal IT people take 3 days to install their computer.
Yeah, I believe it.
Well,
all the browser leaks, they export them and import them.
But if we did that for our client base, we'd be fired on the spot. They think we're supposed to do it in 20 minutes. And
right. So,
you know, there's a point where it's diminishing returns. So, right. You know, you get some of that customization is going to be lost, and the user will have to decide whether or not it's worth recustomizing some of that stuff.
Right.
But it's all manual again, Guy.
And then some of the new features, you know, you really don't need everything from the old system.
Right.
Yeah.
So
just data, and you get to reinstall your apps and probably upgrade your apps. So there's no Microsoft didn't make it easier this time.
Oh, well, the big software glitch this week is the 737 Mac software that's crashing non-Malaysian airplanes into the ground.
You're right, and we talked about that early on. They were even before the crashes happened. These people that were getting this autopilot, They didn't know how to turn it off. So I think what we're going to find with these two airplanes, this is just my feeling, is that the pilots weren't trained properly. It's not it's not that Boeing has a problem. It's that the airlines have a problem training their people to find the button that says turn off the autopilot.
Yeah.
I think that's what you're going to find. Now, we'll see, but that's my prediction, that they, some of these guys had like just a couple hundred hours of experience.
Right.
They interviewed a former pilot who said that the manual it was very sketchy on the part about the autopilot.
Sketchy?
That was what he said.
That would be Boeing's issue if they're not helping with training, but I don't know. You need to know where that button is to kill that autopilot.
Right. They want to rely on the, you know, Boeing designs it so that it's simple for the pilot to fly, but then maybe sometimes if the airlines get a little lazy, they don't train the pilots right, they start relying too much on the automatic software, and then when something goes wrong, like you're saying, they don't know how to quickly shut it off and regain control of the airplane.
And they're under duress, right? So they're not maybe thinking that it's an autopilot issue. They might be thinking something else, which is what it seems to be the case, but we'll see when all the chips fall where the issue was.
That's what scares me about having an automobile with no steering wheel, no brake pedal, and no gas pedal.
Well, there you go. Yeah,
exactly. So we'll see what happens, Guy.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, good luck.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, bye-bye. But yeah, I've had some mixed feelings about this whole FAA. I mean, the FAA took forever to decide to quote-unquote ground these DC.
Well, I think if the president hadn't gotten involved, that they wouldn't have.
Yeah, very interesting. But we'll have to see what the black boxes say about what was the cause of this this problem. But it's most likely a software thing slash training thing. Probably there's probably culpability on both sides. Yeah. But I think it's probably going to end up being more training. That's just my gut feeling. Let's go to Bill in Granby. What's going on, Bill?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, I have several iOS devices in my house connected through a router that I have. And the router's got a safety access. Like, it'll block devices trying to go out to malicious websites.
Oh, good.
And lately I've been getting a lot of, and then it emails me the website it tried to access. And lately it's been trying to go to something called bat-bing.com and also something called GoDaddy.
Well, GoDaddy is a major web host. They're completely legit.
Yeah, okay. They do in domain registrations. They do certificates. I mean, just about anything.
But the bat.bing is a search tool. It's part of the Microsoft. I don't think it's malicious. But then again, it could be. Let's be clear about something. Bing search is not a browser hijacker. Okay, so it's not malicious, but a lot of people want to remove it. So somehow you selected somewhere in your system, you guys, one of your users decided to use the Bing search tool.
And it's a redirector that sends you to traffic that they want you to go to.
Right. So Microsoft.
The site is bat-bing. That's the same as bing.com?
Well, from what I'm seeing here, it's bat.bing. I haven't seen any bat-bing as being problems, and everything talks about being just a normal way for Microsoft's trying to monetize your searches, right? So somewhere on your network, one of your users decided to accept this browser helper, this tool called Bing Search. It's a search tool, and that's why your router is saying, "Hey, you know, this is what's going on." But it's not malicious, but it is a redirector.
So I would call it malicious when it sends you where they want you to go rather than where you want to go.
Right.
And They entice you into clicking on it by, like making themselves look very close to something, some software that you know, like Bing or Google or something like that.
Right. So, yeah, but I don't see any bat dash. Do you see any bat dash? I only see bat dot.
I do not. It's all bat.bing.com.
Yeah. So I don't think you have anything to worry about too much, but you want to go on all your workstations, go see if the Bing search bar is part of their browser experience.
Okay.
And you have to know
so
which
one. iOS devices, so just go into the browsers that we use on those devices?
One of them has probably been tricked into this Bing search bar of some kind, but we can put some links up here for you.
Okay.
It is people see it as malware, but all these malware removal folks are saying it's not malware, which it's not. So
okay.
Just annoying.
It's a redirector.
Yeah.
Browser redirector.
Okay. Well, I really just wanted to know if it was something more malicious, so that answers the question.
So. Yeah, I don't think so. And you've got some security going on there, which is good.
Yeah, very good.
All right,
thanks very much, guys.
You got it.
We'll see you.
Yeah, bye-bye. All right, we'll step out for a quick break. Paul, Ralph, and Walt, hang on. One line open for you. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here at 11 o'clock, so feel free to get online. We'll be right back. We are back. One line open for you. A little spirit of the radio. Of all the songs about radio, this is the best song talking about radio. A little bit of Rush there for you. But let's get right to your calls. You've got Ralph in Newington who's got some issues. What's going on, Ralph?
Good morning. You probably heard this one 1,000 times, but I missed your show when I heard you starting to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I have malware.
You have malware?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And it came up once or twice on when I'm in programs and I opened up about an update. And I always get, leery of these pop-ups like that. So I laid off doing it. I did it the other day when I had time to watch and see what was going on. It seemed to do okay. But then I noticed when I went to start up my reprogram and everything in the mornings, it ticked like a while for it to do. I did a scan right after I had uploaded the new program. How do you tell whether these are intruders or something that's valid to download when they pop up like that? Is there any particular way you can tell?
Well, pop-ups generally are not something you'd want to follow.
He may not be talking about pop-ups. You got Windows 10, correct?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm playing with 7. I'm looking to update after this tax season.
Because I was thinking of the notifications down in the corner that are always get in the way.
Where are these pop-ups happening, Ralph?
That's what I'm talking. Yeah, the lower right corner is where it came up.
Oh, those are notifications.
Yeah, those could be legit.
Okay.
So you may not have malware.
I bought the malware years ago.
You get a lot more of those, and you can turn
Wait. He said he bought the malware. You didn't buy malware. You bought malware bytes. You mean you bought tools to alleviate malware, right?
Right.
Okay.
That's
okay.
So, are you using Google Chrome as your web browser?
I was, and I thought that's what I started to hear you talking with somebody maybe 1 or 2 weeks ago, and I had a break off.
Yeah.
He was having a problem. I think something with his printer or something, or I'm not sure.
Could be, but those notifications you're getting.
Yeah.
If you go up into the settings and go into advanced under Google Chrome, you can turn off the notifications. So, because I had to turn them off because I work down in the task area, the task bar area quite a lot, mm-hmm. and those things jump right in your way and take focus away from whatever you're doing when they pop up. So, if you go into Google, you go in under the settings, the three little dots, go down to advanced, you can scroll down until you get to notifications and turn it off, and you'll find that you have a lot less of those things popping up.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything that comes on that's like news or whatever, when you're browsing with Google Chrome, those notifications will show you.
Yeah, they'll get right in your face. But Ralph, are you saying that your Malwarebyte software that you purchased is popping up, telling you to do something?
Yeah, that's what's happening down below. When that pops up, it says malware. I don't know if it says malware, but it says new update download ready or something like that.
Yeah, and that's okay. I mean, you want to update your virus software, your malware software on a regular basis, and that's a good thing. I mean, the fact that they got to tell you can get annoying, but it's the right if it's a legitimate tool that you have, it's okay to update it.
Yeah, because years ago, I remember, I don't know what it was, 98 or the one version after that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember getting it was like a drop-down up in the middle or in the top of the screen, and it looked like a Microsoft thing, and it said download, and I got a virus.
So
I've always been leery since then.
Yep, I don't blame you. Are you running OpenDNS, Ralph?
Say it again?
Are you running OpenDNS?
I don't know what that means.
So you're probably not. So if you're not using OpenDNS to actually get on the internet, you're much more apt to get viruses and malware. So if you go to our website at computertalkwithtab.com, the name of the show.com, which also works, we will have a link up there explaining what OpenDNS is. And what it is you're going to be surfing on a safer internet. You're not going to be on your internet provider's internet, which is the wild, wild west of go anywhere you want. You're going to be on a nice, clean, safe internet that's going to not allow you to go to malicious sites. And that'll reduce your troubles, my friend, by 95%. I got three boys in our house, and they would love to go to bad places. but our tool doesn't allow them to do so. And we have not been impacted by malware ever since that one example I gave about the time I had a couple glasses of Merlot and my son needed to do a book report on Japanese baseball players. And then our blocking tool, OpenDNS, was not allowing him to go there. I reduced the security and instantly got hit with malware. That's the last time we've been hit.
I don't do much surfing out there on anything anyhow, even right. Facebook or anything like those. They come in through my email, and I take a look at it, and I usually blow them away.
All right.
I don't even try and open those things.
Okay.
And I don't surf the net. I use Chrome, I think, to go out on the web.
Yeah.
Whenever I want to look at a product or something like that, and I'm mm-hmm. always careful to watch.
Okay.
Usually coming through my email category.
Right.
And I watch when it gets to the point after or during reading the email. Click here, that's when I usually decide, well, I don't need to see anymore, and I'm out.
So, all right.
The malware has been coming up. It does cleaning and stuff almost daily, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And it comes up and gives me, right after I turn on the machine, it'll give me an awesome, everything's clean right
good.
Now.
All right, so you've got a tool called Malwarebytes, I think, and it's running and is doing its job. You're good. All right, Ralph.
All right, let me ask you one more question.
Right.
When I start up the machine, actually when I shut down, I go, I bring up the bottom symbol there for the beach ball, and it says, you click over to the right or you move over to the right, and it says shut down.
Yes.
I always use that, or I have been. I noticed last week when I started checking stuff, there's a little arrow to the right of that, and it actually pops up a little thing that says shut down, log off, or some other stuff.
Uh-huh.
The reason I'm asking about it is I always just clicked over to it the first time and it says shut down or whatever it says on the bottom there, I think, is to turn it off.
Yeah.
Well, when I open it up in the morning, it seems to load twice.
That's because if you hit the little button without the arrows, you can shut it down without installing the updates. But you'll see that it's like a little orange thing on there. And that's what it's doing is it's installing updates.
Right, so it looks like it's happening twice, but you're doing it right by just shutting it down. What you're doing, Ralph, is perfect.
Okay.
All right?
I usually wait for it to go through the second thing, and then my malware's green symbol comes on at that point.
Yep.
It doesn't come on the first time when all the icons and stuff I got on the window.
Right, it's updating. So I think you're good, Ralph. I think it's just a slower machine. That's why it seems like twice. We got to go to a hard break, bud. Thank you for calling. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here at 11 o'clock. We'll be right back.